We're very privileged to have today Craig Gross with us, co-founder of XXXChurch.com. In addition to all of the resources that that website is now providing us in the Christian church, as well as for the non-Christian world in our society, he's also been giving leadership to what we call Porn Sundays that are held in churches around our country. He's a wonderful communicator, wonderful man of God. He's married, has two little children, one and three, now live in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we are just so honored to have Craig Gross with us today to address the issue of pornography as we begin our Porn Awareness Sunday. We're just going to see a little video introduction as well. But first of all, I just want to make sure we welcome him warmly. Let's welcome Craig Gross as he comes in just a moment to speak to us.
We've talked to people who have lost jobs because they've been looking at it at work. We've talked to people who have gone bankrupt. We've talked to people where their marriages have been destroyed.
Well, you're about to meet two young pastors who have come up with a way to deal with all this.
Craig Gross has started a ministry specifically aimed at hope.
And this website captured major headlines.
With that in mind, some people who are committed to fighting porn are taking a controversial step by confronting it directly in church.
So the problem with porn and any other sin, it's stopping us from doing what God wants us to do.
It's Porn Sunday at Willow Creek Christian Church in Chicago.
American homes now have a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week porno pipeline coming in.
Mike Foster, Craig Gross, join us from Chicago. So, first of all, mission. What is the missionary position that you know? So boldly title your documentary.
Thank you. It's good to be here this morning. My name is Craig Gross. And about 4 years ago now, I'm sitting at P.F. Chang's Chinese Food with my friend Mike. We're both pastors. We're both dealing with a lot of youth in our ministries. And we say, let's talk about porn in a real way. Let's do something. And I remember kind of going, well, what are we going to do? What do we have to say about this? And we just kind of looked at the facts that were that times were changed. Now you don't have to go searching for pornography. It comes right to you. I remember when I was in sixth grade, I first saw porn, and it was actually in a magazine format, and we hid it in my locker at school, and I thought, that's not a good place for it, and so we hid it in my friend's garden, and I remember every Saturday, we kind of ride on our bikes over to the garden until our parents found out what we were doing, and then they had it sitting there on the coffee table, and they had that awkward discussion, and then they bought 27 James Dobson tapes and made us listen to them every day on our way to school, and they thought that, you know, solved everything, and I remember now, you know, looking at just the kids in our youth group that were struggling with this, maybe weren't even searching for porn, but just it had been sent to them. And I remember Mike and I just said, well, let's do something. We thought since the pornographers use the internet, why not create an internet site that would address this issue? We came up with the words XXXChurch.com. We combined the CD with the sacred, and then we came up with the number one Christian porn site. And we just wanted to be number one at something. And there wasn't a number two, so that immediately made us number one. And we got excited about that. Yeah, it was awesome. And then we thought, well, what are we going to put on this site? What are we going to do? Who's going to come to this site? And we just started talking to people. We started talking to men, women, young and old. And we found out some alarming statistics. The porn industry, just in the United States alone, is about $13 billion, and every year gets larger. The average age now, someone first sees pornography is 10 years old. Because of the internet, it gets younger and younger each year. I just found out that 90% of kids between the ages of 8 and 16 have been exposed to some form of pornography on the internet. So it's in our homes. It's now just not on the internet. It's on cell phones. It's on iPods. Cable television today, I mean, the Playmates have their own reality show that's not even considered pornography. You go on a magazine shelf today and you see the men's magazines that they have to, in some cities, cover up because they're so risque. You look at about a third of the people that are looking at porn online are women. And that kind of set us back for a while. We're going, wait, I thought we were going to build a site for guys. Women look at this? What do you mean? And obviously women aren't as visually stimulated as guys for the most part. But women have bought into the lie of pornography just as quick as guys. They've seen that this is what their boyfriends or their husbands are into. Well, what do I need to look like? What do I need to do? They've seen that, you know, Paris Hilton, for instance, makes a porn video. It doesn't hurt her career in this day and age. It helps her career. And so we see women looking at pornography at an alarming rate. We look at about a third of our pastors are struggling with pornography. I think a reason why we kind of hide it in church is because a lot of churches are saying, this hits too close to home. I can't talk about this. And for the most part, the church is very uncomfortable dealing with pornography. Pornography makes up about 60% of the internet, estimated almost 400 million pornographic websites. So if you haven't seen one, I mean, there's a good chance they're going to send you a link in an unsolicited email. Makes up about a third of all unsolicited emails contain pornography. My mom got one of those. She calls me, Craig, those porn people know that I'm related to you. What are you talking about, Mom? Yeah, well, I'm 59 years old. Why would I want to see that? I said, Mom, they don't care. They don't care if you're 59 or if you're 9. They're going to send it to you and hope that you would click it. And my mom and I have just amazing conversation. I think that was about 2 years into our ministry, and I think she finally got it. Well, okay, this is why maybe my son is doing what he's doing, because you don't have to go searching for it anymore. And I remember as we started building the website, I said to Mike, I said, well, what are we going to, we need to launch this thing somewhere. We need to, you know, let people know that this website's going to exist. And Mike said, well, what are you thinking, Craig? And I said, well, I had seen on Howard Stern that he was actually going to be at a porn show. I'd been to youth pastor conferences. I went to a car show once with my dad, but never did I think porn shows exist. And Mike said, what are you getting at, Craig? I said, I think we should go. I think we should have a booth there. If we have the number one Christian porn site, there's 70,000 people that are going to be in Las Vegas. Well, why not have a booth there? Not stand outside and picket and yell, but go inside and talk to people about what we know, that we know something better than porn. And when they look at us like we're crazy, we'll tell them it's the hope of heaven and a relationship with God. Mike said, well, Craig, if you've forgotten, we're married. What are our wives going to think? I said, they're going to go with us. I don't know about you, but I won't fly in my household. Hey, I'm going with Mike to the porn show for 4 days. See ya. I mean, my wife's not, I know. Our wives? And what are we going to do at the show? So we had all these questions that we didn't have answers for, but we just said, if they'll let us in, let's think and pray hard. I remember calling the company. I was all nervous. What do I tell them? What don't I tell them? There's not a whole lot of rules when it comes to porn. They don't care what you do. It's a porn show. And so when they said, hey, do you have $5,000? No, but Mike has that gold credit card, and it was kind of his idea. So yeah, $5,000? Give me two booths. No, I said, oh, no, just one. And I remember calling Mike back, and I said, we're in. A few weeks later, we go to church, and church kind of does one of these. I'm glad they're going, but we're not. And, hey, we should pray for you. So they brought us on stage, and they prayed for us. And out the back, I saw Rex the Rabbit. He's our children's mascot at our church. He visits all the kids that are, you know, third grade and below. And he does a great job, especially when it's their birthday parties. He sings them a little song. And we thought, they won't be needing Rex. Our wives need a job at the porn show, and why not have this fun rabbit, you know, Easter bunny-like character, because we don't have, you know, the draw of celebrities or rap stars or, you know, rock stars or porn stars. So then our wives could be Rex the Rabbit. They could take four-hour shifts in this bunny outfit, and it would just, people probably need a break from taking pictures of porn stars all day. Our wives looked at us like, what? I mean, for better or worse? I mean, what? And they love us, so they decided to do it, and we headed to Las Vegas. I tell people all the time, you can't blame the dark for being dark. You got to blame the light for not shining on the dark. And we just thought, you know what? If they're going to let us in, well, why not? Sure, we're not going to go shopping. We're not going to walk far from our booth. And we're just going to talk to people like normal human beings. I remember that I was fascinated by when you walk into the show after you pay $35 to come in, they give you a gigantic bag, and you just walk through. There's nothing really to do at these shows except just kind of fill that bag with porn. And people walk in and out of their booths, and they just dump the stuff into those bags. It's quite sad, actually, to watch people that are looking for that next thing or they're looking to fill their lives. You know, we do the very same things. We throw different things in our lives, hoping that they'll fulfill it, hoping that they'll satisfy it. But I didn't see one thing at that show, one thing in anyone's bag that would do that trick. Because the porn is a cheap substitute for the real thing. It's fantasy. It's not reality. A lot of people think, this is what my marriage needs. Oftentimes, porn is an aid. Sometimes people think it's an aid. oftentimes, most of the time, it becomes a substitute. It retreats you from that intimacy that maybe that you once had. And so people are just buying this stuff and putting it in their bags. And here we are just telling people, hey, if we know something better. And they looked at us like we're kind of crazy, but yet they'd listen. Thousands of people we'd have conversations with that were open to hearing what it was that we had to say. I remember when we got back from Las Vegas, the news had contacted us. Everybody from Japan to Australia to Playboy to Penthouse to the LA Times said, we want to know why pastors decided to go to a porn show. The LA Times ran the story. They didn't put Mike or I on the front page. They put Rex the Rabbit. The church said, hey guys, we know what you did, where you took the rabbit. Why don't you just keep it? Because I am not comfortable bringing Rex back to children's ministry here at Crossroads. It's a good, you know, porn disqualifies you from children's ministry. And the rabbit, they said, you can have. And our wives looked at us like, oh, does that mean we have to wear that thing again? And we had no idea we'd ever go back to a porn show. Maybe once they find out really what we're all about, they'll tell us to stay away. It was the opposite. They called us. Hey, we have several other shows in different cities. Would you like to come? Well, they're quite expensive. We haven't realized how to pay the first one off. Well, we'll give you half off the booth. And we say those are Christian discounts at porn shows. So we didn't even have to ask for them. And they don't go both ways. We never allow them at our shows, no matter if they pay double. It wouldn't work. But for them, they just said, hey, why don't you come? And in these last 4 years, we've seen a lot of just open doors to the people in the porn industry. We've actually now have a ministry helping girls out of the industry. We have a girl that works for us in Los Angeles that just hangs out and makes relationships with some of these gals. We have a professional hair and makeup team that go with the porn shows with us to just do hair and makeup and tell the girls that they're beautiful. We have some friendships with people in the industry. And it's just, we're trying to just create some solutions amongst that industry. The other side of what we do is just, you know, events like Porn Awareness Sunday, where we're able to talk to people in church, because porn is the dirty little secret. It's something that, and it's so common in our culture today, but 76% of people that look at pornography all by themselves, because there's the shame, the guilt, the embarrassment. And it's just one of those odd things. Well, yeah, we all talk about it, we all consume it, but yet when it comes to actually talking about it as, well, a personal issue, no one really wants to talk. And my world is just kind of assuring people with people that you can talk about this, that there's a God that loves you, and understanding the fact that porn, just like any sin, it's separation from God. And I believe pornography will keep you from doing those things that God wants you to do. So this morning, I wanted to open up a passage in Romans, and Paul talks about it, and he kind of uses the passage, says, struggling with sin. Starting in verse 18 out of Romans 7, Paul says this, I know that I am rotten through and through, so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't do it. When I try not to do wrong, I do it anyways. But if I'm doing what I don't want to do, it's really not me that is doing it. It's sin. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another law that is at work within me, at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Thank God the answer is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. People ask me all the time, well, how can you do what you do? I mean, how can you be around that stuff? And really, we're around that stuff in small doses. We don't go every weekend to these shows. We spend very limited amount of days. We have a lot of accountability, a lot of people with us. We fast at times before these shows, and we're smart about what we do when we go there. But the honest answer is I've met the most miserable people at these shows that I've ever met, people that look like they've had it all, but really they have nothing. One of the things that we did this last show in June, and we decided, well, what could we put in those bags that I told you about? That would, you know, satisfy them, that would fulfill them. And the only thing that we could think of is the Word of God. That's the only thing that would work. And then we thought, okay, Bible's at a porn show. okay, how's that going to work? And so we came up with, instead of maybe a Bible that looked like this, we made one that was yellow and pink, and on the cover it says, Jesus loves porn stars. Quite controversial, quite difficult to get a Bible publisher to do this. Even though there's duct tape Bibles, there's a waterproof Bible, there's the Bible for truckers. So we thought, you know what, if we have 5 minutes to share with someone, we want to let them know that God loves them, that God can satisfy them, their every need, that God can fulfill them. So in June, we ordered a lot of these Bibles, and we took them into the show. This is a picture of what our booth looked like. There's 3,500 Bibles in there. I remember loading them in. It cost us actually $900 for the guy to load them up on one pallet and drive them to our booth. He goes, what do you have in here? You're going to sell all these videos, all these books? And I was like, no, they're New Testaments. And he about fell off the car going, you're bringing in 1,800 pounds of Bibles to the porn show? He scared me then, going, yeah, are we crazy? Are we insane? And then we thought, well, thank goodness those bags are big. We all got kind of good aim. We can throw them in the bags as people kind of walk by. And let me tell you, we didn't have to do it. We were at the show in Los Angeles in June on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And this is what we kept seeing. Box after empty box after box. By Saturday at 2 p.m., every one of these Bibles was gone. And it was just incredible. I don't know if people are going to read it. I don't know what they'll do. A friend of mine says, well, you're onto something, though, Craig, because you can't throw it away. That's like bad luck. I said, well, I don't know if it's bad luck, but yeah, hopefully they'll look through that bag when they get through at home. Maybe it sits on a counter. We didn't change anything on the inside. It's the New Testament, and we know if they do pick this up, what can happen? And that's all we can hope for. That's all we can pray for. People ask us, well, why would you do such a thing? And in the year 2006, people at a porn show are really not a lot different than people sitting here in church. We met a lot of people on that Sunday morning that had come from church. I go, what are you thinking? Come, you know, what's going through your head? Well, this is great. I'm just use this here and there. I'd met a father-son before at a porn show, but in June, this was the first time I'd ever met a family. They're all happy. They all have bags with them, mom and dad, and then the two daughters just graduated high school 2 weeks prior. And they're at the show. Disneyland's right down the street. I'm going, what kind of goes through your mind to attend the show and bring the family? And they said, well, this is just great. And I asked the girls, I said, what's in your bag? And she just looked at me like in front of her parents, goodies, and laughed. And I mean, they're smiling. And yet I'm scared to death for what's going on in that family. I'm scared to death or just the thought of, okay, let's attend something like this as a family. And today in the world that we live in, I mean, even the radio station was broadcasting. The main radio station in Los Angeles was broadcasting outside of the convention all weekend long, saying, hey, come down here, meet us, and we'll be here at this show. And I'm thinking, well, just 3 years ago, this was kind of like a specialty thing, kind of hidden in one of the halls. Now it's on radio. Now it's family event. Now it's, oh, man, where have we come? And so to me, we have to draw the line. We have to understand that pornography is a dead end. It's very progressive. It will lead you to do things you never thought you would do. And if it stays in secret, most people will never get free from this. The passage I read in Romans, I think, gives us a few things to point to. The first is to go to God. That's why we give people the Bible, because there's nothing I could say at a show in front of these people that's going to change their mind. This looks great. This looks enticing. There's a reason why people fall into this trap. So I can't compete with them on that level, but I can say, you know what? That God offers to give you a better life. God has a plan for you that I don't think involves this stuff. That God can fulfill you greater than any of that stuff in that bag. And whether nobody knows in this room about your struggles, or whether everybody already knows, whether it's a big problem or a small thing, there's nothing that you could do that would make God love you any less. And I think we've got to, first thing is we've got to go to God and say, all right, God, I need help. God knows the number of hairs that are on your head. God knows your thoughts before you think them. So oftentimes, especially us that have maybe grown up in church, we think we can handle this one on our own. We don't need his help, and we can't come to him because we're embarrassed, we're ashamed. And God's saying, hey, I'm not going to look at you different. I'm not going to point the finger at you. I'm not going to count how many times you've messed up. I'm here to help. It's not just a quick fix sometimes. Okay, God's going to take it and immediately be gone. I think the world we live in, you know, wants us to think that because, you know, you can lose 10 pounds by drinking this shake, or you can get rich by reading this book and doing these things. I fell into one of those about that ab energizer thing. You can put that around your stomach and it sends electronic volts to you. And it says it guarantees you can eat a pizza and do whatever you want and you get a six pack in 3 weeks. 6 months later, all I have is six red dots on my stomach and my wife laughs. You have to go to the gym, Craig. You have to do sit-ups. It doesn't work. But I think so oftentimes we think we go to God and he doesn't fix something immediately. We kind of give up and God's saying, look, my Holy Spirit, my helper, is going to dwell within you. And just to help you, to guide your paths. And so understand this, when you go to God, you might not, you still might be tempted, you still might struggle, but to know that you have a way out, to know that you have somebody that loves you, it's huge. The second thing I challenge you to do is to find somebody else to go to. Well, if you kind of back up a little bit and think, okay, well, most of the people that look at pornography are looking at it by themselves. Okay, I can talk to God about it, but I can't talk to anybody else about it. Great, there's a website. I can email these guys. No one will know. We get thousands of emails a month asking for help about pornography. And this passage, Paul couldn't say it any better. I want to do what is right, but I do what is wrong. That's what these emails say. Whether they're 5 pages long or 5 paragraphs, people are saying, look, I'm stuck. And then they always, most always say, nobody knows, so I'm glad I found you guys. We ask people to share that with somebody else. And oftentimes, it's where the discussion ends, where the emails end. I say, can you email this, what you just told me, to somebody that you have, you know, friends with, your spouse, your pastor? No, you don't understand. And then people don't get help. And it's kind of frustrating because people say they want to do it as the right thing, but if you want to do the right thing, you're going to have to maybe take some steps so you can do the right thing. We're speaking at a church in Cincinnati, and you know, it's uncomfortable. You know, you're kind of like, okay, football's on, we'll get out of here, go to lunch, and then we don't have to talk about this. And in Cincinnati, we left the church on Saturday night, we spoke, and we got back, and the security was there. It's like, Pastor, we went out to dinner with the pastor, and he said, Pastor, the people left great tonight. They were in and out of this place quicker than they've ever been. Yeah, they wanted to get out of here. They wanted to make a run for this because this is going to maybe require some uncomfortable conversations. It is not the easiest thing to get through, but those are conversations that you need to have, whether you're on the side that is struggling and you need to confess to someone, or you're somebody that, you know, can just listen to someone. And I think especially guys, even though, you know, women do struggle with this, I think guys, you're going to be in a lot better shape if you confess your sin before you get caught. And some of us are thinking, oh, well, you know, my wife, she would never know. She can start to figure things out. He doesn't come to me anymore for sex. He maybe stays up too late. She's starting to figure these things out. And you're in a lot better shape if you can kind of just go to someone and say, look, this is where I'm struggling with. Or you can find somebody. We have a program on our website. It's free. It's called X3 Watch. And it monitors where you go online, and it sends a report of any questionable websites that you visit to an accountability partner. For me, my wife, Jeanette, and my best friend, Jake, they get to see every 14 days what I see. And sometimes it's kind of nervous. I don't look at porn. I mean, I don't. But I have this thing. And so whenever I get a phone call from Jake, or whenever he sometimes forwards me back my email accountability report. I know there's no porn on it, but he'll just say, hey, I'm just wondering, what is this website? And then we'll have a discussion. Oh, well, that was some article that was written on us, and, you know, it was on this thing. We'll have a discussion. But I'm reminded on my computer that there's a little green X, and that reminds me that two people close to me are going to see what I see. And it will change what you do online. It will even change what you do offline. Because if you know there's a conversation coming, whether your struggles are porn or not, if you have a friend, if you have a spouse, a pastor, someone that you can meet with, someone that you know is going to be in your face about some issues, it's what we need. I think it's what the church is for, to help one another through the good and the bad times. So maybe before you leave here today, you need to tell someone, hey, you're going to be getting an email from me. Make sure you tell them before you surprise them with your email accountability reports, because then that's kind of strange. Or maybe you just say, hey, let's meet for coffee before work and let's talk through some of these issues that we know are holding us back. We've had almost 70-something million people to our website. We've had 200,000 download X3 Watch. I met a bunch of people after service this morning that have it, and it's exciting for me to get to travel and see people that are using it. But I'm also, even though I wasn't that great at math, 70 million, 200,000. People, it's tough to do the right thing sometimes, and it's going to require a sacrifice, like maybe having someone else see what you see. But if you want to do the right thing, you got to start to make those steps. So I challenge you to download X3 Watch. It's free on our website. I'll never forget in March, I took a guy to jail I met at a church in Cleveland. Came up to me, says, Craig, porn leads to a dead end. I said, I know, that's what I was saying. And he says, well, let me tell you my story. 16 years of a porn addiction, very progressive, led him to do things he never thought he would do, one of those being child pornography. He was a corrections officer. He was in a process of adoption. He was had a marriage for 13 years, and they're sitting in the third row. And he comes up to me and says, Craig, I'm being sentenced, and I'm looking at 9 years in jail. He tells me about the day that he had to go to his wife and say, the FBI is coming to our house, and here's what I've been living, this lie. Fast forward down to March, I was in Boston. He calls me, and he says, Craig, I got off a little easier, but I got 5.5 years in Boston that I'm going to have to serve. I'm coming in today. I said, Bill, I'll pick you up. Well, I took him to jail. It was horrible, like to just see a guy. They wouldn't even let him take his Bible in. Oh, we got those in the library if you want it. And here's a guy as he walked through the gates that, I mean, knew he did wrong. But for 16 years, so I have his friend in the car with me, his best friend from high school. We're driving back to the airport. I didn't want to go after the guy, but I just said, Kevin, hey, you got to just be honest with me. Did you ever know Bill was struggling? Did you see it? Were there signs? He kind of just put his head down. I said, it's not your fault, Kevin, but, I mean, do you feel at all you could have maybe prevented this had you known, had you said something? He goes, Craig, it was so difficult. Bill would tell me things that I knew were inappropriate and knew he was struggling, and it was almost like he was wanting me to ask him because the way he would throw this stuff out there. And he says, Craig, I'm going to be thinking about that for the next 5.5 years as my best friend's sitting in jail. He's bankrupt. His wife's left him. He's got nothing. And if you're that friend of or if you're that spouse, it's going to be maybe uncomfortable. It's going to maybe need some healing and some relationships, but just begin the conversation. I couldn't beg of you more. The last thing that I'd share with you is to clean it up. Corinthians says it like this, run away, flee from sexual sin. Well, how do you flee from something if it's staring you right at the face? If the computer's hooked up online, you've got anything you want, if your magazines are there, well, it's hard to flee it if it's right there because we're going to return to it. The Bible says a fool returns to his sin just like a dog returning back to its vomit. We're no different. If it's right there, we're going to, you know, 9 times out of 10, we're going to go back to it, even though we want to do the right thing. So clean it up. Maybe for you, that's unplugging the computer. Maybe it's getting X3 Watch. Maybe it's getting a filter so it not even can get in the computer. Maybe it's ending a relationship. I have a friend who lost everything. He lives in Kentucky. His wife is in charge of the checkbook, and his wife is in charge of his calendar. He says jokingly, I don't have money or time. And you can't get in a lot of trouble without money and time. And my wife, you know, kind of controls those things because I know if she didn't, it would lead to where I was headed before. And so today, maybe you need to identify, okay, here's the temptation, here's where it's coming in, and decide you have to do something if you want to change. And let me just encourage you that when you do decide to change, when you do start to remove some of the sin in your life, I believe that God has bigger and better plans for us all. It says that he has a life for us that's more abundant. And for me, the most difficult thing that I do isn't going to a porn show and being tempted by the girls next door. You see through that in 30 minutes. You see the pain and the struggles that even that they're going through. That the hardest thing for me is to talk to people, whether at church or at a porn show, that know what they're doing is wrong, but they continue to do it anyways. There's a girl, Michelle. She came up to me at the second show we'd ever been to. We didn't know any porn stars at that point, and my wife is still in the rabbit suit, and this porn star is quickly approaching, and she's saying my name. I was so nervous. I was talking to the bunny, going, I don't know her. You know, it was just, and my rabbit head almost comes off, and the bunny's not supposed to talk, and I said, trust me, Jude, I don't know her. And she comes up to me, and she gives me her business card, and I don't really want it. And she says, you came to my school last year. I went to Calvary Chapel Redlands in Southern California, and you were the speaker all week. And we have this conversation, and she kind of does one of those, what are you doing here? Then I'm like, well, what are you doing here? And she says, I'm in the porn industry. Well, why? What, how do you go from Christian school to this? Why? Well, what do you think God has to say about this? And here's what she said. Watch this.
Hi. So how did you get from Christian school? Did you go from Christian high school right into this? Or were you doing it while you were in school?
I stripped for while I was in school.
High school?
Yes. I've been stripping since I was 16, while I was going to Christian school. And then I graduated, I was a stripper, and then 2 months after I turned 18, I got into the porn industry.
What do your parents think?
They don't like it. They're very, very upset.
Are they Christians?
Yes, they are.
The best. Are they just...
My mom started crying, and of course,
yeah.
My dad doesn't know yet. I don't lie about what I do. Yeah. I'm very honest. I know it's wrong, but I still do it.
Yeah.
So money says a lot.
So you do it for the money?
Yeah.
Yeah. But and you know, when you say you know it's wrong, do you still, how's your belief in God? I mean, you still...
I still believe in God, and I believe He's really pissed off at me right now. But He's still there, and He's still watching over me.
And you're just kind of doing your own thing, and you think eventually you'll get out of this, kind of go back to Him?
One day.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of money.
She says, I know it's wrong, but I do it anyways. Money says a lot. Michelle, do you think you'll leave? Do you think you'll eventually get out of this? As quick as I said, yeah. I mean, for sure, I can't do this forever. She knows. Yeah, as soon as I get this. I saw Michelle a few months later, and she walked out of the elevator. I walked in. She'd done 30-something movies, huge contract with a big company. She wasn't happier. She wasn't more fulfilled, more satisfied. And I hope as my eyes caught hers, I hope she was reminded that God has a better life for her. That God has something better. And you, I don't think I'll ever see any of you at a porn show, but I think we do the very same thing as Michelle. God, when I get married, I'm done, I promise. God, when you send me that job I've been praying about, then God, it's over. Then I'll give this up. God, when I retire, I promise. God, when we make deals with God, and God say, no, right now. This is keeping you from me. This is keeping you from these things that I can do more than you could ever ask or imagine, but I'm waiting for you today to say, I'm done. Stop filling your bags with all this stuff that you know is leaving you empty, that you know you're ashamed of, that you know you can't tell anybody, that, you know, you just, it's ruining you. I mean, Michelle knows that. But she continues to do it because the world says, you know what, you can be a star, you can do this. And yet God says, hey, I've got something so much greater. He wants to use you in ways that you couldn't even imagine. I can't imagine that I get to do what I'm doing today. I mean, some crazy idea over Chinese foods turned into this. Not because I'm any special, or I've decided to say, all right, God, I'll give you that stuff. And allow you to work in my life. Bow your heads with me. God, I thank you for this congregation. Thank you for this church that has said, yeah, we'll talk about this. Because we need to. Because we need to give people the hope that are sitting here in these pews that God, that we can get through this just like we got through other issues, just like you promised before. But God, we can't get through this if we don't talk about it, if we don't deal with it, if we don't have conversations, and if we don't make changes. So God, I pray today it's not just lunch and football and on with the rest of our lives, but God, I pray we can run to you. We can tell you things we've never thought we could tell you before, God, because you're going to not look at us any different. You've paid the price. And you have something better for us. God, I pray that we can find other people in our lives that can kind of walk through life with us, even talk about these tough issues. And God, I pray we can make steps to clean it up. God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that because of what he did for us, all this is possible. God, if people don't understand who he is or if they've ever met him before, God, I hope and pray that they understand there's not anything greater than this free gift that you have for all of us. So God, I pray for the conversations and the things to follow. God, that you just work in a way that only you can do to heal the broken, to just comfort those that have been hurt by this. Give us the courage to talk about it and make those changes. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Will you stand with me for an amazingly important message to us today, and so well done. I'd like to ask our prayer partners if they would come up to the front. Every Sunday, pretty much, we just give opportunity for you, if you need prayer in some area of your life, that you would have someone who would personally pray with you. That's important to us as a congregation. We give you that opportunity. This day is no exception. And I'd like to especially invite those of you, among others, who, you know, whether pornography is your issue or not, the fact is sin is all of our issue. And we all need what Jesus did for us on the cross when he died and he shed his blood to wash away all of our sin. And then he rose again to give us his resurrection power to change us from the inside out. And you're not walking with the Lord and your heart's not right with God. Maybe you'd want to come and there'd be somebody here who could pray with you and that's going to help you start that relationship with Jesus. And maybe you just have some need in your life. You'd like someone to pray for you. Fine. Maybe you're dealing with pornography. You'd want to come. Or you want to come and stand in on behalf of somebody that you know is really wrestling with it. It doesn't matter. But I just we need just a few more of you to come and stand up here as prayer partners, if you would. And then I'd like others of you, if you would just come and make your way as we just sing. If you have prayer need of any kind, to start a relationship with Christ or just you need the Lord somewhere in your life or a friend's life, you come.